sad and tragic day that Rush has died. We all knew he was sick. He's been battling that cancer for about 2 years now. And when we saw him last in January, when they said it was his last show, and they began their premature celebrations, these, you know, I'm not even going to go on Twitter and look.
No,
I'm
going to
avoid it. I'm not going to do it. I am not going to dignify that wretched behavior with even giving my eyeballs to peer upon it. But I will say this. I could say a lot about Rush. I first heard him in 1990. WWL in New Orleans. Actually, WSMB in New Orleans picked him up in 1990. And that was a small 1,000-watt AM station. Not very powerful. And he started then piling up the radio stations. And then when he got up to like 150 or 200 or so, WWL, the big 870, made the move and took Rush on in 1991 or so. And there he remained until the Communication Act of 1994 and consolidation finally killed that arrangement. I think he was being heard on FM. I haven't heard him in a while, but I believe he was on WRNO here in New Orleans locally, the last station that had him. And you're right about all that. Everything you said is correct. There are those that want to be that one voice and that think that, well, all you have to do is, just, what you're going to do is go on and just spout your point of view. People completely misunderstand Limbaugh. Yes, Rush was a conservative, but he always knew what his role was, even though he did do the sleepover in the Lincoln bedroom, which he probably still regrets or still regretted. Rush always got it right, and I never forgot that. I told Justin something the other day, and he looked at me like I had three heads, and the one in the middle was purple and square. And I said, "Dude, we're in the smiles business, baby." And he looked at me like, "What the hell are you talking about?" I said, "That's Wolfman Jack. We're in the smiles business." And you know, Wolfman Jack was a Hispanic. Most people didn't know that. Big influence on Rush, as was Harry Carey. But Rush loved Wolfman Jack. He loved the. He loved some of the early Grease Man, Uncle Greasy. And if you ever heard the Grease Man, then you would hear a little of the Grease Man in Rush. But Wolfman Jack had it right, too, because, you know, people, even though we complain sometimes and tell people how rotten our radio lives are, people turn the radio stations on and good radio talent on because it makes them happy.
Yeah.
Now, there are some demented souls that want Alex Jones to make them nuts and to keep them angry, but Wolfman had it right, and I don't think Rush ever forgot that either. And Rush always said, "I have three jobs here, my friends, to entertain, entertain, and entertain." He was a master showman.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a conservative, but he was a master showman. And that's what people ought to remember about him. Yes, he was a good conservative guy. I hope he converted. Hope that he got right with God and converted to the faith before he died. I know there are probably, he knew lots of very, very devout conservative Catholics. So I hope one of them maybe prevailed or the grace of our Lord or Our Lady prevailed on him. But the thing that I took away from Rush, there was a couple of things. Number one, and anyone who's ever worked in a radio business doing any kind of talk or anything like that knows, there used to be hundreds and hundreds, maybe even thousands of little prep services that you could buy where people would send you jokes and stories and stuff like that. I don't think Rush ever had one of those. And I don't think he was always original. So that's what always inspired me and inspired me that, well, if you're going to do parody songs, I'm not going to play Al Yankovic. We'll make our own. Rush had that right. And to say that he was an entertainer is just an understatement. I actually met Limbaugh. I met him twice. And the first time I met him, I was not in broadcasting. I'll never forget the experience. So my brother-in-law, Phil, and I were huge Limbaugh ditto heads. And he was coming to town. He had, he's on his Friday show. He was coming to watch a Saints game because he had these friends. He still has these friends. As a matter of fact, I think they may know the Barrett family. And he had these friends in New Orleans, and he would come and stay, and he would always do the same thing. He would come to New Orleans. Friday night, he'd go to Commander's Palace and have dinner. Saturday, they'd hang out. Sunday, he'd go to a Saints game. So he was going to a Saints game, and my brother-in-law, Phil, and I were trying to figure out, well, how in the heck is he going to get into the Superdome without being mobbed? And he was a big dude then. He was 300-plus then. So knowing the Superdome and the entrances, we figured out that the most likely place where he would kind of try and sneak in the backstage, if you will, to get into the dome, and we were right. And there was only two other people that figured it out. And Rush comes out this door, and he's got his slacks and his blue blazer on, his trademark and his tie and everything. And I ran up to him, and I had a copy of a newspaper or a magazine that had a story about him in it. And I ran up to him, and I had made this up, and he stole this from me and used it. I said, in the hair-lip voice, guys, Middle Limbaugh, please help me. I've tested positive for EIB. Because he was going on and on about AID. He was talking about AIDS that week, and I tested positive for EIB. He chuckled, and then I handed him the thing to sign. And a pen, and here's where it gets really funny. He stopped and he went, "You see there? You weren't ready, my friend." And he handed it back to me. "You didn't take the cap off the pen." He handed it back to me. So I threw the cap off the pen, and I gave it to Rush, and then Rush signed it. And I met him at, gosh, I'm trying to remember where the other occasion was, but I met him a second time. And I was never one of those people that cheerled the, "I knew he was a doper. I knew he was an addict. He deserved it. Oh, I hope he can never hear again." These people are just vile.
Yeah.
They're just disgusting human beings. Don't forget that I believe he was just remarried in the last couple of years, so he would have a surviving wife. Of course, we would have his brother David, the author, David Limbaugh, who I interviewed about half a dozen times or so. And I remember once David even told me, he goes, "You know, of all the radio guys that I've interviewed with," he goes, "for some reason, Mike," he goes, "you just remind me of my brother." And I went, "David, that's like the highest compliment I've ever received."
Yeah.
It doesn't get any higher than that. But Rush was one thing puzzled me in the last 8 years or so since I learned it is, where did he learn Thomism? Because he was a very logical St. Thomas Aristotle. Maybe he learned Aristotle. He was a very Aristotelian thinker. That's what made him logically and brilliant. And that's what makes anyone, me and you or anyone that studies Philosophia Perennis and Thomistic logic or Aristotelian logic, it'll make you, people will think that you're genius and brilliant. All you really are is you just deal with reality and the truth. And then the revealed truth and apply it to to life. But I would be shocked to find out that sometime when he was younger, that he didn't have some Thomistic formation or Aristotelian, you know, studied Aristotle under someone. Of course, he's going to be missed. I know that his producer, James Golden, people probably don't remember Bo Snerdly. That's not his real name. James Golden's his real name. James left Rush in 2000 and moved to Seattle and helped the Bill Gates partner. What was his name? Allen. What was his first name? Paul Allen. Oh, Paul Allen saw that the social media internet was going to be something and tried to do it in 2000 to 2001, and it failed miserably with this thing called TalkSpot. And Bo Snerdly went out there to go be the program manager and to run the thing. And what they did, they basically did what we do. They had online radio talk shows with private chat rooms for each host.
Hmm.
Yeah, yeah. But it failed. The bandwidth wasn't there. The speed of the computers and the browsers just wasn't there at the time.
The technology just couldn't support
that. No, it couldn't. And then James went back, and he's been there ever since. I loved it when my friends, I'm going to now turn the golden EIB mic over to Bo Snerdly, who is an official black man and can speak official black man things on this topic. I mean, we're laughing about it, but that just shows so much of what he did was brilliant. There was people may also forget the Rush to Excellence tours. No one does this anymore. Name the comedian that could sell out the Dallas Mavericks arena.
Very few.
Name it. Name one.
I couldn't name one off the top of my head.
Well, Rush could sell out arenas about that size. Maybe two-thirds capacity because they'd have a stage, you know, one-dimensional stage, not a three. It wouldn't spin around or anything stupid like that.
But every seat available would be out.
Pretty much every seat available, you'd go, I went. My brother-in-law Phil and I, we went to a Rush Excellence show. We went and saw him. He did these tours. And then, you know, he had the Rush Limbaugh TV show, which was way ahead of its time. And he was really good on TV. But the Libs just weren't going to let him have it. They just weren't going to let him do it.
Yeah.
And then another thing in Limbaugh's career that if you weren't a longtime listener and you didn't read his book, The Way Things Ought to Be, it's sitting up there on that shelf somewhere. When he first started at ABC in 1988, and then he was doing they made him do an hour on ABC on the that's 770 WABC in New Tenochtitlan City, and then they gave him 2 hours to do on the ABC radio networks. So he started becoming a little popular, and at that time Pat Sajak had a show, and Pat loved Rush. If you don't know, Pat Sajak is a pretty conservative guy.
Yep.
And yeah, Pat loved Rush. And Pat was going to go. He was taking a little break. And so he asked Rush to fill in for him one night. And it was an absolute disaster. Because they had an equipment malfunction.
Yep.
I want to say that his mic or his earbud didn't work. One of the two. And he lost it. You know, he kind of got that deer in the headlights thing when it didn't work, and they sent him out there on stage. I think he was set up, actually.
But probably.
They all wrote him off. This fat conservative blowhard, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, they were all wrong. And then, of course, you know, we all saw him get the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which should not be minted and should not be a title. But nonetheless, since it is, he got one, and Trump gave it to him. And we saw him at the State of the Union just a year ago.
Yeah. About this time.
About this time, a year ago. So, lots to say about Rush. We love you, Rush. I pray I did some, obviously, some requiescat in pace, eternal rest grant unto him. Oh, God, let perpetual light shine upon him. May he rest in peace. Amen. I got to talk for the next 2 hours about Limbaugh things. The guy was a titan. And as he said, I think one of the most memorable things I ever heard him say was in that show that he did before the Christmas break, when when he said, "Look, the treatment is not going so well. I'm going to take a Christmas break. You know, I pray God I'll be back." And he just said people were sending him things, and they weren't addressing him like a friend. And he said, "You know, you people misunderstand what we have here. This is a friendship here. I'm your friend. You're my friend." He really meant it. When you open your show and you, "Hello, worthy friends, you mean that.
Yeah.
Well, when Rush says, "Hello, my friends, greetings to you, conversationalists across the fruited plain," he actually meant that. He loved those people. He's like Trump. He actually loves those people. He loves people. And so, to quote the captain in Tennille, "Love will keep us together." And that's what kept that thing together for so long. Wasn't conservatism, although it had a part. It wasn't his uncanny ability to predict things that were going to happen or to translate them to people. And he did do that. It was his love for America. And he really did love. He, you know what? He never really was a firebrand, fire-breathing neocon.
Yeah.
He kind of went that way for a little while, but his logic again was telling him that's just not the right. But I think in order to stay on ABC, and I believe he finished his career on the Premier Radio Network, where they all are now. Yeah. They've gobbled up everything. And there's look, somebody asked the question, who do you think is going to replace you, TKD? There is no one. Well, there's no one that could, number one. And number two, if you put anyone on there that had his kind of fire for the craft and actually had something to say, in this woke world, one show.
They'll cancel
it. Done. Yeah. Like, give it to me. I'll make it an hour. by the time the second hour news break is on, I'm done.
Yeah.
Maybe Premier is yanked till they've gotten the Gene the Dancing Machine and the hook out and pulled me.